This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:35 and you're listening to the evening edition with Lynn and Ayman. And we've been talking about a couple of different things. We've also, more recently, been talking about handwriting experts and just kind of giving updates on developments surrounding the SRC court case. One message from, from Dr. RK.
So somebody is desperately trying to prolong his case and the inevitable outcome, crying out now that the signature was forged, is an afterthought.
On that note, that is exactly where our next conversation is headed to, because that is also something that has actually been said by ad hoc prosecutor Datuk V. Sitambaran, who's basically said this: the fact that it's been introduced at this late stage is nothing more than an afterthought and a tactical maneuver to delay proceedings.
Yeah, so what happens in this case is that they are trying, Najib's team has called a handwriting expert to come in to sort of verify the authenticity of the signatures on the documents that are related to SRC international trial. So it's like, so their defense is that, these documents have not been conclusively determined, and this is why they want to call the expert. But yesterday, ad hoc prosecutor Datuk V. Sitambaran said that, the fact that Najib has waited until this late stage of the trial to seek this verification from an expert, it shows that this is an afterthought and a tactical maneuver to delay the proceedings. And he said that if this is allowed, it will cause a miscarriage of justice, since justice for the prosecution is will be overlooked.
So we are going to be, I think, taking a closer look at this idea of tactical maneuver, because it sounds really interesting, but it also sounds very disheartening for the same reason that it sounds interesting. And we wanted to understand from a legal standpoint what that looks like. So we are going to be speaking with two lawyers actually after this, or rather we spoke to them earlier today, but you'll be hearing the results of that conversation. That is coming your way after this. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It is coming along to 6:45 in the evening. You are with Lynn and Ayman, and we're talking about tactical maneuvers and delays in court. This is coming, of course, after the very court case that we've been talking about. The fact that we have seen the legal team of Dato' Sri Najib Razak basically saying, hey, we need authentication. So that is what we're going to get. And other people saying, well, stop delaying matters. So earlier in the day, we were lucky to have Emeritus Professor Dr. Shad Salim Farooqi, Professor of Constitutional Law from University of Malaya, and Kaizan Sherry Razak from Sira and Sharizad in the office. They were actually here to record an episode of Law and Behold, which features on Friday. Fridays at 3 p.m. on The Bigger Picture. So they were kind enough to help us make sense of what's happening. Here are Prof. Shad and Sherry explaining why requesting a handwriting expert to review the signature at this point in the case is considered both an afterthought and a tactic to delay proceedings.
Well, it appears that this defense is like an afterthought, and it's meant to delay the trial, which, of course, all along has been a strategy of the defense. Lawyers get bitten by dogs and all sorts of other excuses. There have been several postponements. So I think while everyone should be allowed to have a fair hearing on the facts of the case and the circumstances available, it's for the judge to decide what is actually a fair request or not. I would have thought that if this request for delay was in some way connected to the disclosure by the MACC, that would have been fair, because MACC was introducing new evidence to the public, and therefore they would definitely be a right to reopen. But this is a totally unconnected. The documents were discussed earlier. The documents were debated. The contents of the documents now is an afterthought. But I think this is something for the judge to decide whether he would at this late stage allow new evidence. From my own experience, I know that judges have on occasions refused to allow evidence to be introduced as an afterthought The judges have said these are the arguments that were submitted. The judge wants the lawyers to address the court on those issues.
Like what Prof Shad had said earlier, it's always a judge discretion to decide whether or not to allow such evidence at a certain stage of the trial. But it's also important to note that the significance of those evidence and at what point it is presented is also crucial.
Yes.
What Prof Shad has mentioned earlier, if it's already the issue on signature perhaps or forgery or the doubt on the signature was already presented earlier, and at a later stage now to come and ask for an expert to evaluate, that will be a possibility and afterthought by the defence. It should have been thought of and applied or asked from the court much earlier in that stage when the evidence was presented at that stage.
The judge has to see it in a holistic way. He has to see the whole conduct of the trial, of the prosecutor, of the defence, to see whether the judge is being obstructed in the performance of his duties. And I think the judge will decide, and we can trust the judge to make a wise decision. The only problem is this. I'm worried that if the judge decides against, then they will say, on this point,
you appeal.
We want to appeal,
yes.
Which again would delay the trial further. So I think that's the name of the game right now.
Yes.
Every issue raise new arguments, and if the judge happens to disagree with you, then perhaps apply for an appeal on that point
yes.
To delay things.
Because
further.
The avenue is open to not just Najib's trial, but in any other cases as well.
I think that's a very good point. The judge must understand that this would open up a precedent for all other trials.
So we wanted to know whether every type of defence or evidence has to be made at the beginning of the trial, and whether there's any rule that says you can't submit new evidence at a later point. So Sherry and Prof Shad says most, if not all of it, should be submitted in the beginning, but there are of course exceptions depending on how reasonable the request is.
Technically, it should be considered already in the beginning, because legal strategy will be presented by the lawyers. That's where the strategy of defense, the line of arguments, the evidence, the witnesses, the documents have to be presented to the defense at the earlier stage so that they can present the case the best possible. But there are also instances like cases we've seen or dealt with, evidence are not available at that earliest point and can only be presented at a later stage. But reasons have to be given for the court to consider.
I think that question that you raised is critical for the citizen to understand that there is no absolute rule that new evidence cannot be introduced. I think the judge has to see the reasonableness of the request. If you present a document to prosecute me and I don't say this is a forgery, surely I should know it's a forgery.
Yes.
If it is a forgery,
yes,
I should know.
You should know.
And then a few days later, a few weeks later, I say, but by the way, this is a forgery. Then I think the judge has a right to dismiss and say, this is an afterthought. You should have known earlier. Here is a document where millions of ringgit are involved. And the document is the basis of some of the charges against him. And for his lawyer and him not to recognize right away that this is a forged document, that he signed no such document. I think that's quite remarkable.
But if it's the charge is on your signature on forgery, you should have first-hand knowledge without waiting for an expert to say that that's not my signature.
That should be the first argument,
yes.
Actually. Say, this is not my
yes.
hand.
Yes.
So I think let the judge decide on the reasonableness of this request.
Yes.
So earlier, Prof Shad said that it would have made more sense to request a delay based on the new information that was released by MACC. So we asked if that could be a possibility somewhere down the road.
Along with reasonableness, the issue of relevance is important.
Yes.
You see, many of the issues raised by MACC may not be relevant to the charge. But if they're relevant, then surely the judge will have to exercise his discretion to allow discussion on this issue because of the relevance of the evidence.
You just heard Emeritus Professor Datuk Dr. Shad Salim Farooqi, Professor of Constitutional Law from the University of Malaya, as well as Khaizan Sheri Razak from Sira and Sharizad, speaking to us about the latest sort of belated defence from Najib Razak's trial, disputing the authenticity of his signature in a document that was used to prosecute him. So we've been asking you for your thoughts, and we have some very interesting thoughts coming through. Firstly, this from Jessica, who says, whatever it is, he's still responsible and liable since he was the Prime Minister and Finance Minister, which speaks to something that Maggie asked.
Can someone be held responsible if it was found that there are too many forged signatures occurring, as if there was no check and control when the signatory is a VVIP like the leader of a country? I hope the lawyers can comment on that. If yes, then maybe the prosecution can use the frequency factor against the defendant. Sorry, but blame my reaction to watching American movies like Law and Order, Ironside, Perry Mason.
Yeah, I think we are all guilty of that. These legal shows have just ingrained in us this idea that it's like, you're out of order. But also,
we need more Malaysian lawyer shows, right?
We do. Although, I wonder how that would look. I'd love that. Watch that.
Exactly.
But I think, unfortunately, we couldn't ask the lawyers that. We spoke to them earlier today. But I do think that right now there is a pattern here of, I think, trying to establish, yes, I did some stuff, but not everything. Mm-hmm. That there seems to be an ongoing thing with both what's happening in court as well as public statements, where it's like, yes, certain things occurred, but not these things that you're accusing me of. So similarly, it's like, well, yeah, even if it's forged and it was on my watch, that's bad, but it's not as bad as what you're accusing me of. So that seems to be the pattern being laid out.
Again, that's a technicality side of it. So perhaps like if you're saying that I'm wrong, that I'm only wrong to a certain degree. So what does that mean in terms of like the severity of the judgment or punishment or whatever it is? And I don't know, is this a tactic to allow the defense to build a case while they still have the opportunity, I guess?
And then they get you because you end up fighting over those degrees. Yeah, you know, what is the degree of wrongdoing? Mm-hmm. We also have Sharina saying, this whole drama should teach all Malaysians to be diligent, get the right stamps, seals and signatures for official documents. We need to watch and learn. Our government and all organisations must get the paperwork for approval for public funds sorted.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's a very important point. I myself, of course, I'm not familiar with how they do these kinds of signature and stamping within the civil service. But if there is anything to be taken from this case, one of it would be to be more precise and diligent in terms of how you verify these documents.
For sure. And, you know, the balance that needs to be struck there is, of course, there is this demand. And I'm thinking here not necessarily of public funds and the documentation required, but even on a very basic level of going to any civil sector. So I'm thinking here of somewhere like, for example, JPJ, you know, and we want things to go fast. There are 1,001 forms. Anybody who's been to JPJ will know this, right? There's 1,001 forms. You need to fill them all out. You want them to move really quick. But at the same time, you want them to get all the paperwork 100% correct. Do it, you know, to the T. And I think right now we are not quite doing either of that, right? Mm-hmm. We are neither fully invested in getting things perfectly accurate, nor are we invested in doing things quickly.
Yeah.
And so until we strike that balance, I think it's a little bit difficult.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, like, how do things change after this? Obviously, this is a huge landmark kind of event in Malaysian history. There's a lot to be learned when it comes to, you know, how we improve on our governance and the distribution of power and access to resources. And I hope that, you know, things will be better in the future after this.
If you have any thoughts, again, Ayman, could you give the number? Sorry, I am about to cough.
Well, if you have any thoughts or comments on these stories that we've done, you can call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 0187899889, or you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Stay tuned with us on the Evening Edition. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.